The Lily Garden by Barbara Josselson. Read by Norma Butikofer for Saga Egmont. To David, Rachel, and Alyssa, my loves. Chapter 1. It was on mornings like this that Caroline wished she were back in Lake Summers, helping Maxine carry heavy oval plates piled with thick burgers or juicy steak kebabs out of the grill's busy kitchen, ladling Garrett Gull Henderson's famous chicken riggies, the rigatoni mixed with sweet peppers and smothered in his signature tomato cream sauce, into wide-mouth pasta bowls, giving people exactly what they wanted, never having to disappoint. So different from today, she thought as she eyed the resumes for the entry-level marketing position stacked on her sleek walnut desk. Today, she'd be emailing countless copies of the company's form letter, saying thanks, but no thanks, and good luck with your search. Telling people they weren't good enough, that there was no place for them here. Her colleague, Will, was always insisting that she took this way too personally. She owed it to the company, he said, to find the best qualified candidate, period, and put the other applicants out of mind. Still, it was hard to stop thinking about the people she'd rejected since she'd taken on this responsibility a few months ago. Even some of the names stuck with her. There was Carol Bell, the newly unemployed office manager, probably in her early 60s, desperate to secure a new position, far from ready to retire. And Sidney Brotman, the former actor hoping to show that his voiceover experience had prepared him for a second career in sales. Caroline always printed out the letters and resumes. The least she could do was hold the pages in her hand as she read them, rather than merely scrolling through them on a screen. She scrutinized today's stack, trying to estimate how many there were. 4, 5 dozen, maybe? Each resume painted a picture of a bright 22-year-old who was convinced that a high grade point average and glowing recommendations would be enough to land a job. She was sorry they'd soon have to learn how the real world worked, that they'd soon face rejection, along with the unhappy truth that there was always someone a tiny bit better. Shifting her gaze, she studied the framed photograph of her daughter, Lee, on the corner of her desk. It was from last spring's junior prom, Lee looking so pretty in her strapless pink dress, her choppy brown waves gliding past her shoulders, her smile lighting up her heart-shaped face. In 5 short years, Lee would be the same age as these applicants, another young college grad launching herself into the world. Except, of course, Lee would never be in their position. Lee's future was guaranteed. That was the beauty of being an heir to a family business. Lee's dream was to follow her great aunt's footsteps, first earning a business degree at Alvindale University, and then working her way up to become the company's CEO. And Caroline was proud of her daughter. Lee was amazing, smart, motivated, and personable. She deserved every success in the world. And yet, there was a piece of Caroline's heart that worried for her daughter. Was the future Lee envisioned for herself truly the best one out there? Aunt Risa was so persuasive, so good at making the family's thriving textiles business sound irresistible. Caroline had repeatedly urged Lee not to close off her options so early. But Lee had no interest in this line of conversation. The two of them were leaving tomorrow for a late summer vacation to the East Coast to relax and sightsee, and it was all Caroline could do to convince Lee to visit a few college campuses just to get a peek at what else, besides Alvindale, was out there. Grasping the handle of her nearly tureen-sized coffee mug, the corporate name Ranson Enterprises emblazoned in thick black letters around the side, Caroline pushed her chair back from her desk. The caster skated smoothly on the pricey, tempered glass floor mat. Her mug was cold since she'd poured her coffee at 8 o'clock, almost 2 hours ago, but she didn't care. She liked the feel of something solid in her hands, something she could wrap her fingers around and hold tight. A smidgen of ownership went a long way toward making her feel grounded, especially in the ultra-modern office space Aunt Risa had helped design. Everything in the 6th-floor suite could either roll, swivel, nest, or otherwise reconfigure. Even the glass walls of Caroline's office were made of movable panels that could be pushed aside to enlarge the reception area for staff meetings or client cocktail parties. She walked to the window behind her desk and looked out on the parking lot below. Hers was one of the thousands of offices in the suburban Chicago business complex, their windows reflecting the glare of the August sun, the black asphalt below glinting hot. She studied the landscaped islands alongside each row of